You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06, and it is nice to have you back on this Monday morning, July 28th. We are going to run out of July later this week and to get ourselves launched into August before this work week is over. Nice to have you back here in Chippewa Falls. Nice to be home after five nights away. I mean, that first cup of coffee from your home pot when you've been away for a while, it's just so good. It's good to be back sleeping in your own bed and everything else. But we had a nice time taking the show on the road to Madison. We will check in with Madison with John and Gordy in just a bit, as well as meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's back from EAA Air Venture. So everybody just had a big week of fun, a big weekend of fun. Hopefully you did as well. Later this hour, we will talk to author Laura Bird. Her book recommendations this time around come from Midwestern authors who make a connection back to nature on this World Nature Conservation Day. So we've got that coming up along the way. And, of course, your comments either on the text line, use the Civic Media app for that, or you can put a comment on Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Rob from Tigerton writes, Pat, when you went from Beaver Dam to Oshkosh, did you go through the infamous Wisconsin famous speed trap of Rosendale at the intersection of Highway 26 and 23? Yes. Did I get caught? No. I'm very happy to say. Brittany, I'm sure you've cut through Rosendale a time or two as well when you need to get to Oshkosh and don't want to go all the way to Fond du Lac and up. You just cut through Rosendale, which... Well, it was fine this time around, but I do remember the first time going through there and seeing a speed trap or two and going, oh, this is what everybody's talking about.
Oh, yes, I've seen that one for sure. And I've definitely seen a couple others across the state this weekend. So hopefully you guys stayed safe and didn't get caught by those. I didn't either. So
no,
even
no,
though
you
it
didn't.
Was a rush to get to the bed, right? Our own home.
Oh. Our own home, our own bed. You've probably still have camping gear that you've got to clean up and everything.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, yep. The laundry to do. You may as well stay inside and do that. You've got the air conditioning today. You're going to need it one more time.
You sure are. Another heat advisory in effect today, noon to 7. It's going to be highs in the mid-80s far north, mid-90s far south. It's going to be feeling like 100 degrees through most of the southern half of the state. So right now you're waking up, going outside. Temperatures are at about 66 degrees to about 80 already. And of course, we do have dry conditions today, mostly sunny to partly sunny, but a storm system does start late tonight, probably around 10 o'clock far northwest in the state. Then it starts to move central overnight around 1 a.m., 2 a.m. or so, and then it moves in towards southeastern areas, Fox Valley, Lakeshore, early in the morning around 4 or 5 a.m. Now, there is a slight risk from the Storm Prediction Center for these to be strong to severe, mainly in Eau Claire area, down towards La Crosse, Richland Center, and off to Dubuque. You could see some damaging wind gusts, larger hail, heavy rain, maybe a quick 1 to 2 inches with this system, and it's going to slide again from the north down to the south as we go through this evening. After that, we start to cool down a little bit. Now, tomorrow, it still hangs on to a little bit of heat, mid-70s north, mid-80s south. Few storms could pop up in the afternoon, but then a high pressure system moves in. Wednesday, we cool down, upper 70s across the state, and that holds for the rest of the week. So we've only got today of high heat, sweating again, a little cooler tomorrow, and then relief.
Relief is going to feel really nice. But like I said at the top of the show, it's not 10 below.
No.
If you're going to give me 90 plus or, you know, below zero, I'm going to go above 90. That's that's going to be the answer every single time, you know, because we don't get many of these. And, you know, you get some of those below zero stretches by the time you get to the end of the week. I mean, you're going crazy if you're not a winter sports person. Frankly, even if you are a winter sports person.
True. You know, it's just too much, too long. Exactly.
Yeah, this will do just fine. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including my Sunday morning newsletter, where I ask your feelings on cryptocurrency. We had a couple of state legislators on last week while I was doing the shows from Madison and hearing all about cryptocurrency and the need for consumer protections on their guardrails to protect not just individuals, but small businesses and the economy at large. And so you can answer that question by being a subscriber to our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's bring in John and Gordy from our civic media station in Madison. You can hear them 6 to 8 in the morning when you're down there. And just after 8 on Mondays, they join us up here from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good morning, Pat.
We
good
suffered through a really hot weekend here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a little bit of fun on there.
We have a huge festival here just this time of the year every year, and it's called Atwood Fest, and it's like our own summer fest. It has so many groups down there, so many stages, and a lot of people, a lot of great eclectic food. It is a fantastic place to go. I mean, keep it in mind for next year, you know, if you're in another part of the state, this would be a place to go to see a lot of local bands, regional bands. It's a fantastic get-together.
30 bands, Saturday and Sunday, 3 stages, and lots of different food options.
Yeah.
Really a fun time. It was just really hot the whole weekend.
Well,
that didn't stop the crowds, though.
No, at any time. I mean, you said they've been doing this for, what, 23 years now, so I'm sure they've seen everything from really hot to rainy and stormy and everything mm-hmm. in between. But I'm not familiar with all the various Madison celebrations. I mean, you think of Milwaukee and you've got Summerfest and the Wisconsin State Fair and then, you know, the whole German Fest and all those kinds of things. So you got the big one, Summerfest, and then the others that kind of follow. Where does Atwood Fest rank in terms of the one that I'm most familiar with for Madison, and that would be Bratfest?
Well, Bratfest is bigger.
Yeah, it's huge. That would be the premier event to attend. Yeah,
that's the biggest.
But really, I think Atwood Fest, as the word gets out, as more people attend this and find out about it on civic media, I think that maybe people should start planning to make it down here at this time of the year each and every summer. It's a fantastic event. You won't regret it.
Same like general period, same week every summer?
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much the same time.
Yeah,
in July.
Last weekend in July. Yep. Of course, the regular things, Wednesday, this coming Wednesday is the last concerts on the square. They do 6 of them every summer, mm-hmm. and that's always a big deal on the square.
If you like sitting on a lawn out by the Capitol, drinking wine and acting kind of elitist.
My trip to Madison last week, which I like Madison, but it's got its things. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I don't miss is traffic. And I happen to be coming into downtown Madison just as everybody was coming in for concerts on the square.
And I guess
they were doing Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon last week. So you had a big turnout there. And then almost next door is the theater there, the Overture, right?
Overture, yes.
Where they were doing Wicked.
Yes.
That drew a bit of a crowd. Then there's a parking ramp right near both of those venues that I was trying to get into simply to get into the radio station there, right where you guys are. It's right behind you guys through that door. I can see it right there. I can see it as I'm in the line of people going to the ramp for one thing or the other. And I'm realizing I'm going to be in this line for maybe an hour as people try to figure out how to work a parking ramp.
Right.
It was just a popular weekend to be there.
Well, you know, they take cash or something like that. I think it's an event.
Well, that was the other thing. It was a special event, so it was like $10 or something.
$10. I
get to the ramp, and I'm like, I'm just working right there at the radio station. Sorry, pal, $10 for everybody. Like,
exactly.
Great. Yeah, okay. So I did that, and that was only after negotiating the Beltline, which is the highway that runs along the southern side of Madison, which I asked rhetorically last week, but I'll ask a couple of locals here.
Yes.
Is the Beltline your Golden Gate Bridge? When they paint it, they paint the whole thing, and by the time they get to the end, they got to start all over again. Is it that way, too, with the construction? They just work their way down and then start all over again?
It's really almost hard to imagine why they have to keep doing this each and every year. I don't know what they're doing anymore, you know? And they almost, they could have put in a North Beltline if they wanted to, but they decided not to do that either.
Don't get started on that.
Oh, Catherine Lake is joining us here.
There's the disembodied voice of Catherine Lake, who
program director.
We've got a camera over there.
By the way, Catherine worked for how many years at WGN Radio in Chicago? So for her to be bellyaching about Madison traffic.
I'm sitting here listening to you bellyache. I'm telling you, that's nothing.
No, my bellyaching.
22 years of Chicago traffic. That's
my bellyaching about Chippewa Falls traffic is I'm behind a hay wagon or a Buick. That's it. That's all we get for traffic here. We're just fine.
Listen to Todd or Pam, and they all say, you know, be kind. Those farmers, they got to get from place to place.
Oh, nobody's ragging on the farmers there.
That's right. I don't know.
When you get behind one of those.
Don't even.
Those really slow, giant trucks.
That's never
any fun.
There's the one, there's like the sprayer, and it's so high up, you're almost tempted to drive underneath it.
Yes.
By the way, public service announcement. Don't.
Really?
Don't do that.
A Prius does not fit. I was seriously thinking about trying it someday.
I know you would think, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't quite work that way. All right. So if you get through all the traffic, then you eventually get to Atwood Fest, and that's great.
Yes.
But there's also, I mean, there are all kinds of other little festivals and mainstays, and we're going to be hyper local for a second here, but I want everybody to think about their own community. You had kind of one of the local mainstay bars recently close, right?
Yes, the Church Key just closed.
Yeah, they just announced that.
It was the biggest hangout for college kids in the area, and I don't know what's going to happen. They had it was called the Church Key on one side and the Church Key Pub and Grill on the other side, and I guess it's all closed down. No reason given so far.
Well, and sometimes places just do either the ownership change or whatever, or in the case of in Eau Claire, if you think of, you know, a mainstay landmark bar, in this case, it was fire that destroyed the camaraderie. But if you mention the camaraderie or the com to anybody, you know, who went to UW Eau Claire from 1980 and earlier, you just get this, oh, I miss those cheese curds so much, you know, and it was a great, you know, quintessential college bar. And now we whine about it and you hear, okay, boomer, but still we miss it. And I think there's room for almost everybody to talk about a local establishment that closed up and they miss it so much and never thought that it would actually go away.
Yeah. Well, we had lost a few clubs here in town. In fact, after we talked about the Church Key closing, everybody started calling us up about all the other
bars that have
closed up over the last 30 years or so. And one of the big ones in this town was the Club de Wash, which had three bars. You know, the Club de Wash was in the middle. The Barber's Closet was kind of a private place in the basement. And they had a disco on the top floor. And that burnt down. It burnt. The whole building just burnt down. It was a landmark building.
The Barber's Closet was a what do you call it? A secret entrance.
They had a secret entrance.
Like a speakeasy.
A speakeasy. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine. Yes. Yeah. So you had to know where to go, and then you pulled the lever or the window lever or mirror, whatever it was, and the door opened.
Your eyes adjust.
Yes.
to try and see in there.
It was a very cool little bar.
Did by chance anybody call in and say visions was what they missed most of all?
No.
Okay.
It would be the one to say that.
That's a food co-op.
They talked about the dangle.
Okay, stop talking.
No. Should not be talking about the adult establishments. No, sorry about that. John and Gordy are with us from WMDX in Madison. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll talk with author Laura Bird in our next half hour on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Going to be a big week for Brewers baseball, taking on the Chicago Cubs at American Family Field tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. The pregame tonight and tomorrow begins at 6:05 on several civic media stations around the network. And then again, like I said, on Wednesday afternoon, huge three-game series for two teams that are tied for the top of the National League Central Division. And, of course, this Friday, August 1st, yeah, going to be August already, this Friday will be another free ticket Friday, your chance to win four great seats to an upcoming Brewers game, as was won last week by one of our morning show listeners, Jim in Brookfield, who sent us a nice note thanking us for being part of Free Ticket Friday. John and Gordy are with us from 92.7 WMDX in Madison, our civic media station there, where you can hear them weekday mornings from 6 until 8. We were talking about some of the fairs and festivals around Madison. The big one, of course, this week in Wisconsin is the Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis, which I've only been to, I think, twice over the years. But for other people, it is, of course, a big staple. Is that anything you go to regularly or you've never been?
I've never been to it.
I have been to it. Yeah, I don't know
many
if they,
years ago.
I'm just barely remembering that if you had a car with a Wisconsin license plate and it was filled with people, you get one entry fee.
Ah, the carload day. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. But I haven't been to the fair in ages. By the way, I just do want to mention we're going to the Brewer game with listeners. We have gave away tickets. We're going to be at the Brewer game on Tuesday evening.
Tomorrow evening. Yep.
Nice. Yes.
It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We use those tickets on Friday afternoon, along with one of my daughters, husband, and the two kids, ages 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. And they had a lovely time. It was very cute to watch them. No attention span whatsoever for
yeah.
the game.
Yeah, that's the fun of it, though.
But, we got them so sugared up on cotton candy and ice cream and anything that you could possibly get there. Now, at the Wisconsin State Fair, it's the cream puffs that are so legendary there.
Yeah.
And Jesse O'Poyne, who now reports for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and for years before that, the Cap Times. I remember she was, you could almost label her the bravest woman in Wisconsin for a few years back, having the bravery or the audacity to put up on social media, somebody's got to say it, State Fair cream puffs, not a fan. Oh my God, you'd have thought she put on a Bears jersey at
oh
that
my God.
the condemnation that rained down upon her.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't insult the State Fair cream puffs.
Look, how could you not like a cream puff?
Well,
the heck?
Yeah. She spoke for a lot of us.
What?
Really? I was like,
you're not a fan?
You too?
It's just a big powdered sugar donut, which of course either you either accidentally inhale a bunch of powdered sugar or you accidentally exhale at the wrong time and you blow powdered sugar all over everybody like Soupy Sales and the makeup, powder puff back in the day on old TV. And it's just gobs of whipped cream. And look, if it is really fresh, I totally get how people who doesn't love a fresh cream puff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the shelf life on a cream puff is not very long before it just tastes like, bread. So,
well, the shelf life isn't long because people eat them right away.
Yes.
The whole thing here is they're very light, they're not like donuts, and and the cream, that's the point. It should be loaded with a lot of cream. And by the way, aren't they making advances in all of that? They're adding different flavored creams and different experimentation creams, right?
Look, I'm glad they do that. And I'm glad they do it with cream puffs here. Because
you guys
I think
are
it was
me hungry, man.
I think it was last week that we were talking about the Ohio State Fair, and their big thing is deviled eggs. And every year, a different flavor of deviled eggs. And this year's feature was chocolate chip cookie dough flavored deviled eggs.
Oh, no.
And that's, I mean, awful. I would, if I were king, I would shut down the Ohio State Fair just for that.
Exactly.
I know. No, you can't do that anymore.
The only way they can go even farther is by breading it and then deep frying it.
Well, that would be, Wisconsin or Minnesota where we got to do all that. Then you put it on a stick. Always got to put it on a stick. Guys, I want you to weigh in on our question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter. And it was after talking to Senator Kelda Royz and Representative Ryan Spouty about their bill, so that all those ATMs we're seeing now that also have a cryptocurrency option, making sure that they abide by certain rules. And so I put out there, where are you on crypto these days? You either know it, you like it, it's the way of the future, you don't know enough to say, or you either are just skeptical or you totally think it's an outright scam. And I'm sure we'll get answers all across out of it. I'm putting myself in the, I don't know nearly enough about it yet, but I'm inclined to think there's not, you know, I'd be closer to scam than the way of the future.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm trying to keep an open mind. Where do you guys come down on crypto these days?
Yeah. I don't know much about it, but I do think it is the way of the future. But it may be too early to tell, you know, when that wave will actually take over from, you know, taking cash with you everywhere you go, or credit cards.
Or, yeah. What do they have? A cash coin, or I can't remember, you know, it's a more stable
exchange. Stable coin is
stable coin. That's
stable coin.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it's pegged to the value of the dollar. Well, then, okay. Again, it's pegged to something that is backed by a, by a reserve currency, I guess you call it.
Maybe it shouldn't be, though. Why are we putting our bucks, our dollars behind crypto?
That's my, that's one of my questions.
That's the skepticism I have.
Yes. Are we, should our tax dollars, you know, in the budget be going to something like this? If other people want to dabble in it, hey, that's just fine. But, you know, you're the one that's either going to make a lot of money off it or you're going to lose a lot of money off it.
But it's been used by organized crime.
Yes.
And that's the problem I have.
That's the
with
thing.
It
being untraceable. That's my issue with it as well, which is not the same as digital transactions. I mean, I hold up my Apple Watch here.
Exactly. And,
but I know it's
Samsung
in dollars.
Watch here.
Yeah. Always another way for me to spend money. That's how this works. John and Gordy, hear them 6 to 8 on our Civic Media station in Madison. Guys, appreciate the visit as always. Have a great start to the week.
A lot of fun.
Thank you, Pat.
Right back at you. Coming up next, also in our Madison studios, will be author Laura Bird, and we'll talk about some books by Midwestern authors that help us make a better connection with nature. That's coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart will be here. Sheila from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We'll also talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area about the latest in Wisconsin political news. I think I know what we're going to be talking about. Dan Hagen will be along from WJFW-TV, Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Oh no, strike that breaking news. Dan Hagen is on vacation this week. That's right. We'll talk to Dan. Yes, I see. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets to get away. Chad Holmes will be along, and we'll have our Way Up North segment as well. But right now, it's time to talk once again with Laura Bird, author who is going to be telling us all from our Madison studio, by the way, about her latest book recommendations and with a particular theme this time around. Laura, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you there in Madison. Big old stack of books in front of you.
Oh, yes.
With a theme on this World Nature Conservation Day.
Yes.
About nature, getting back to nature and appreciating what we have, especially from the standpoint of Wisconsin and Midwest authors. That's an interesting theme you came up with. I would not have picked that for a genre, but clearly there are things that stick out with you about that.
Oh, my gosh. I have so much to share, actually. So it's summertime here in Wisconsin. We all know this. It's sticky and it's humid and hot. But I'm sure that many of your listeners are getting outside to enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer. At least I hope your listeners are. You know, the lakes, parks, hiking trails, there's so much to do. So today I want to chat about books that celebrate and promote a connection to nature. So not only are these stories fun and engaging, but I think that when we read about the earth, it increases our awareness of it and our reverence for it. So these are important stories, I think. So if you're a lover of the outdoors, these are for you. And I'm going to cover some different genres here and different ages. So there's something for everyone. And yes, they are all written by Wisconsinites, with one exception. There's a couple from Minneapolis. So they'll all feel really familiar and relevant to listeners. So I'm just really excited to dig in.
You want to start with the fiction category?
Yes, I love fiction. So I've come today with two novels, and they're both by Andrew J. Graff. And Andy is one of my favorite novelists from Wisconsin. He grew up in the Northwoods, and now he lives in Ohio, where he teaches at Wittenberg University. He's a huge outdoor person. So he is the author of two novels, Raft of Stars and most recently True North. And you need to add these books to your list if you love rivers, water, rafting. I should say that I've only been rafting like once or twice, and that did not stop me from loving these books. So they both take place in the Northwoods, and they're exhilarating with fleshed out characters, and the plots are set almost exclusively outdoors in summertime.
So you say they're adventure stories.
Yes.
Is there anything else you can tell us that would get us into the plots?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are these whodunits or?
Well, not really. Raft of Stars, his first one, is about two young boys who believe that they've accidentally killed someone. Uh-huh. And that sounds terrible, but it's a great story. They flee to the river where they try to out-raft the adults that are pursuing them. And there are a lot of white-knuckle moments in this book. It's really great. And then True North is about a family from the Chicago area that comes to the Northwoods because they've just purchased a rafting company, which is failing, and their marriage is also failing. So they have a lot of layers to work through in this book. But Andrew J. Graff writes so beautifully about how humans and nature intersect, and his stories, I guarantee, will make you want to be outside on the water.
I will say that from a marriage encounter standpoint, my wife and I determined years ago that canoeing should not be part of it because there needs to be a level of communication and coordination that appears to be lacking when we get into a canoe. For other people, it works for them. And maybe I need to read some of these books to find out more.
There you go.
Take us into the nonfiction category.
Nonfiction. Oh, this is such a great one. Sea of Grass, The Conquest, Ruin, and Redemption of Nature on the American Prairie by Dave Haig and Josephine Marcotti. So this is the couple that's from Minneapolis. They're veteran journalists, and they celebrate in this book our relationship with the North American prairie, which I'm learning is known as an ecological marvel because there's so many creatures that live on it: bison, elk, prairie dogs, bald eagles. And I'm also learning that the grasslands are one of the richest ecosystems on Earth. I had no idea. But the constant expansion of agriculture threatens what remains. So these very knowledgeable authors talk us through the opportunities and very difficult decisions facing agricultural and indigenous communities today.
All right. Where are we going next?
Let's go to The Driftless next. I love The Driftless. Shelter and Storm, At Home in the Driftless by Tamara Dean. This is a collection of essays. And if you don't know, The Driftless is an area that kind of starts just west of Madison, and it's roughly 8,500 square miles. And it was bypassed by the glaciers. And in fact, author Tamara Dean calls it the place glaciers forgot. So in these essays, she writes about this stunning area and the home that she makes with her partner, David. She learns to garden, plant a prairie, monitor the water quality. She gets outside and does a bunch of really neat things. And she writes engagingly about geology, geography, critters, and plants. And most of all, she invites us to step outside and be amazed by what we find.
Okay.
It's a really good book.
Good. Let's see. We're going to do stories of insects.
Let's next. Do stories of insects. Right. Where the Grass Still Sings, Stories of Insects and Interconnection by Heather Swan, who actually lives here in Madison. So sometimes I'm lucky enough to run into her. This book is perfect for people who love art because she incorporates art, science, narrative, and verse in this gorgeous book. Like, this is one of those books you want on your coffee table. It would make a beautiful gift for people who love the outdoors and art. She celebrates bugs and insects, and she also celebrates the people who are on the front lines of the fight to save them. So this book rekindles hope and wonder, and again, I think it would make a beautiful gift. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Okay. So now we move to things that are how you listed them as practical and engaging guides.
Yes.
To maximize your exposure
yes.
to nature. Tell
yes.
us more about that.
Okay. The first one I have is this hybrid book, and it's so cool. I'm really excited to talk about it. It's part memoir, part guidebook. It's called Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Parks by Betsy Corbiner. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. This book really resonates with me because I have a goal of hiking all of Wisconsin state parks, and I'm about halfway there. But in this book, Betsy turns 65, and she sets this goal of hiking all the parks, and she does it. And the book is in order of the parks as she hikes them. So it's not organized by region or features. But throughout sort of her, you know, summaries of each hike she takes, she brings in her experiences of human aging, and she talks about relationships, and she talks about loss. And it's just really engaging and fun to read. And now anytime I go hike a new park, I come home and I open it up and I see what Betsy has to say about it. So, wow. Great book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We've got one more under this category.
One more in this category. Great Nature Wisconsin. This is 100% guidebook here, okay? So it's a guide for nature immersion in Wisconsin by Randy Hoffman and Laura and Cody Stingley. This book is phenomenal. The research that went into this book is incredible. The authors present 400 places to enjoy the outdoors in Wisconsin. They talk about outdoor activities. They provide locational information for each. And then they've got like cool little icons and charts where they talk about paddling, fishing, swimming, mountain biking, etc. So this has become my new Bible for getting out in Wisconsin. And I feel like everyone should have a copy in their house. Great Nature Wisconsin. Yep.
Very good. All right, finally, let's get to the area where you've written a book or two for kids and maybe something there that involves nature.
Yeah. Okay.
Look how excited you get just thinking about talking about these.
I know. I love it. Well, especially when you're bringing kids. I mean, there's so many books for nature for kids. But these are written by Wisconsin authors, including yours truly. So I just have to toot my own horn here. Crossing the Pressure Line by me, Laura Ann Bird. This is my debut novel. It came out a couple years ago, and it is perfect for middle graders who love the outdoors. Middle graders are that 8 to 12, 8 to 13-year-old group, and it centers on a 13-year-old girl who finds comfort and adventure in the Northwoods. And it's the perfect book for kids who love fishing, swimming, and animals. There's a whole storyline about how my main character, Claire, wants to catch a muskie in honor of her late grandfather. So if you know anyone who loves to muskie fish, whether it's a kid or an adult, all ages, I think, will really enjoy my book. And it's a celebration of the Northwoods, which is my favorite place on earth. So
great.
Crossing the Pressure Line.
Okay.
And last but not least, a picture book. So this book is for the littles, right? Kids who love to sit in your lap and be read to. It's called The Wild Island, An Adventure at Isle Royale National Park by Tracy Philippi and illustrated by Susan Majeski. And this is Tracy's debut novel. She lives here in Madison. And it's her love letter to the national park that's located closest to us in Wisconsin. And of course, that's Isle Royale in Lake Superior. And she makes me want to go to this park now. It's on my bucket list. There are great illustrations in it. It's really engaging and it gets kids excited to be outside in nature. So again, The Wild Island by Tracy Philippi.
Yeah, but let's get back to the one before that, because that's what we should have listed last year. So we can spend a little bit more time on that and how people can go about getting it.
Oh, how they can go about getting it. Yeah. I highly suggest going to your local independent bookstore. Above all, you know I'm always talking about that. If you don't live close to a local bookstore, go to bookshop.org. And you can order it there, and they will send it to you. And you can even earmark what bookstore you want to receive part of the, you know, the proceeds of the sale. So it's a great way to shop local, even if you don't actually have a local bookshop. Also, you can find it at public libraries. And if your public library doesn't have it, you can request it, and they will get it for you.
And I, of course, was not aware of this until you started appearing on the show. And now I have an account at bookshop.org.
Yeah.
It benefits a small bookstore in Menominee that I've never been to. But I know that at least some of what I'm doing, it's like shopping locally.
It is.
And it's a great way to be able to browse around and also take in some of these recommendations, which, by the way, we will put in the show notes after the show. So if you head to civicmedia.us and shows and you click on this hour's link, you'll be able to see all of these titles and authors that you're recommending. So along with, you know, these latest recommendations, Laura, are you yourself getting back to nature? You talked about hiking in all the state parks. Do you know where you're going next?
Yes. Well, You know, I don't have any trips planned anytime soon. I was just at one of the Ice Age trail segments yesterday, the one down by Paoli. I've hiked there many times before, and it's a really beautiful place. My favorite place to get out is Governor Dodge State Park and Blue Mountain State Park. You know, from Madison, they're only about a half-hour drive, 45-minute drive. So I get out there regularly, and my goal is to hit all the trails at each of those parks.
See, the Ice Age Trail is like a bucket list thing for me. It's just right out here. Yep. Although it's big, it's very expansive. Yeah. It'd be tough to walk the whole thing. But I want to find out where some of the most, I want to start high, the most picturesque segments, and really get a feel for them and walk some of that get out of the house.
Yeah.
But if you can't get out of the house, or if you can only get as far as the hammock, now you've got some book recommendations.
Exactly.
From Laura Ann Bird to help you feel like you're getting back to nature. Laura, so good to see you as always. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Great to be here.
All right. Great to see you. And we'll see you next time around here. Coming up next will be a local break for some of you. And if that's the case, then I will see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north. For the rest of you, some final news and notes from here around Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Parker, before we bring Jane Matinari in, I just want you to know I did take a look at the video you sent me of beer being ziplined in at Mallards games.
Yeah.
Has anybody figured out the design flaw in this thing yet?
What?
That it is shaking the beer violently as it's rolling down the zip line. I mean, how many people have gotten...
I haven't seen anyone get sprayed
a face
yet.
Full of beer. Okay, well.
It's the novelty, Pat. It's part of the experience.
A part of the experience is the beer exploding like as you open it.
Like going to a Gallagher show.
Yeah.
You expect to get hit by watermelon.
Yes.
It's just going to happen.
The Sledge-O-Matic does what the Sledge-O-Matic does.
Exactly.
Same with ziplining in a beer. So, all right. Well, now we've let people know if they go to a Mallards game, you can have your beer ziplined to you and buyer beware.
Yeah.
Jane, how are you? How was your weekend?
The weekend was great. It was quiet. It was too hot. I'm one of those people in Wisconsin. It's like, I know you had stuff, because I always listen to you when I'm coming into the station in the morning. And I believe it was Cassandra or someone on the live stream who said, I'll take the hot weather over the cold. I'm the complete opposite.
Oh, you're not alone. Here's Tony up in Ashland. Your answer is wrong. Give me minus 10 every time over 90.
Yes.
There you go.
See, I'm exactly the same. I can always put more clothes on, which most of the public agrees with. So I think that's a win for me.
You can only lose so many layers. Yes.
For everyone, yes. Yep. This is not my kind of summer.
Tony also noted from our last segment, two books that really made him appreciate nature. Of course, there's Sand County Almanac that we talked about before, and On Trails. And On Trails ties in paths in the woods to neural pathways, a connection I never saw coming.
Oh, that's interesting.
So there you go, a little back to nature.
Do you
have a favorite place to get away? Because, I mean, you're in Milwaukee, so if you've the Milwaukee area. So when you've got to get away to nature, where do you like to go?
I love to go to Bayfield. Mm-hmm. That is one of my favorite places on earth. Since Todd and I and Greg took our road trip a couple of weeks ago to Butternut area and Hayward area, we are so blessed in Wisconsin to have such beautiful backyards.
Oh, yes.
And it's everywhere you go. I don't care what part of the state you're in. There's always something that makes me go, wow, that is really amazing. And it's in Wisconsin.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We have one of the best backyards in the country.
We do. We got bluffs. We have dunes. We have water. We have trees. We have hills. It's just, anywhere in the state is a great getaway, I think.
It really, well, as you learned with your recent trek around the state with Mr. Alba, there are
and
so many good places to
people
go.
People were so nice, Pat. They were just the loveliest people. I will say the last night that we spent in Butternut at Lena's Resort, which is a fabulous resort, they have the most aggressive mosquitoes I have ever run into, and they're really little. Mm-hmm. They're not like the bigger. I think southeastern Wisconsin has kind of like lazier, larger mosquitoes. the ones around Hayward and Butternut were like really little and fast. It's like, wow, that was a whole. I needed a tennis racket that was electrified just to.
See, what I don't miss is central and northern Minnesota. Went there a lot as a kid, and they're the big and aggressive ones.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah,
the size of birds.
They will carry away a toddler if you let them, you know. Tony says, I just took my parents to Bayfield for the first time. It is awesome. Did you see the lost goat found in a Butternut store a few days ago? No, I did not.
No. Well, now I got to look that up.
Now I got to look up. I mean, is the goat still lost?
Lost goat? Yeah. Lost? Well, apparently not.
Sounds
lost
like the start
anymore.
Of a joke. You know, a lost goat wanders into a business.
In Butternut.
In Butternut, of all places. What do you have coming up on the show from 9 to 11 weekdays for us?
Well, today we're going to be talking to Civics News Director, Shelley Pittman, is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Of course, the big news from last week, Governor Evers, he is not seeking a third term. So we'll get a little update with Shelley about who is in the race, who are we looking to jump into the race. In hour number two, Wisconsin's new head of the Democratic Party, Devin Remiker.
Yeah.
Devin Remiker, the chair now, is going to be joining us in hour number two, right after the 10 o'clock news. Give us an update as well on how they are planning to gear up and head into the next election cycle, which probably starts tomorrow. And it's a challenge. I want to ask him what it's like. You know, Ben Wickler is very, very popular, and it's got to be tough. Those are big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure he's very aware of it, and especially heading into an election where there's the possibility of winning the trifecta of the Assembly and the Senate, as well as the governor's office, and you have progressive control of the state Supreme Court right now. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure being felt, and not knowing where all the dominoes are going to fall now that Governor Evers has started by pulling out. You know, we wait to see what the state attorney general does, what the state secretary of state does. We already know the lieutenant governor is running for governor. And so, I mean, there can be so many races with so many primaries coming up in the next year. And obviously, in this case, I'm talking about the Democratic Party, but it could be the Republican as well, where the party is like trying to be an honest broker in the primaries and, you know, trying to keep things from getting too nasty, you know, elbows that are sharp, but not so much as to make the nominee damaged goods, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're also going to have one real short break. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it's important. Jeffrey Epstein is still dead, and he is still a pain in Donald Trump's neck. And Mark Wayne Mullen made an interesting comment yesterday on MSNBC that I just think needs a little highlight. So we're going to do that in the first hour as well. Yeah.
We'll hear what the senator from Utah had to say. By the way, Tony updates the goat. It was in a Dollar General, and its owner has been located. And
well, thank you, Tony.
He bought it back for $1.
Just grabbed my Tisbat for today. That could have been that. This shouldn't be a thing.
There you go. Jane Mattinair, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Appreciate it, Pat. We'll see you next week.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks to my guests today. We had Laura Bird, Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Jimmy Cuska, Jane Mattinair, of course. Tomorrow, Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart, Dan Schaefer and Chad Holmes. Of course, my thanks to Brittany Merlot and Parker Olson as well, and to you for being here this morning here on these mornings powered by Up North News. Find what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Brought to you by Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. See you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.